When he was a young boy, Kang dreamed of returning to the palace. An envoy would arrive at Luzhou, a spill of color against the gray skies and black rocks. Musicians playing something bright and cheery, banners fluttering in the wind. A palanquin would deposit a blue-robed court official to stand on the sandy beach where these daydreams often played out before him, and they would unfurl an embroidered scroll, a decree from the emperor. His family would be asked to return to Jia, their positions restored, and he would return to his life among the palace children. But no envoy came, and those childhood dreams faded away. Only now, waiting before the grand gate to the palace, did those memories return to him, cutting into him like those northerly winds once did, filling his nose with the scent of salt. He knows the truth, though. The home he knew as a child was no longer. No Dowager Empress asking the kitchen to bring them another plate of sweets. No Emperor Uncle demonstrating calligraphy on a stretched canvas. No princess reciting yet another treatise on negotiation before their tutor. He came back under a rain of arrows, bringing with him nothing but lies and destruction. No matter how much he wants to pretend otherwise, he had a hand in everything that will happen after this. His horse snickers softly, jostling the one beside him. The animal senses the change in the air, the shift in the wind. He thought a coup would be bloodier. Blood and fire from the stories told by the teachers and his own fragmented recollections of 10 years before. Instead, he saw the soldiers of the army stream into Jia's crevices like water into a dry riverbed. The capital of Daxi drank them in throughout the night as the sky turned pale and a new dawn settled over the sleeping city. The gate opens before him. Kang enters, flanked by his father's men. Rows of soldiers stand at attention, clad in the black uniform of the city guard. A path had been left for them, and the soldiers bow when they pass. There is no sound of battle up ahead, no defiant clash of steel. There is only that weight of expectation, of coming change. When he met his father at the tea house, the general was all smiles, face reddened by wine. His father clapped him on the back, told him that he had done his part. Like a good son, a good soldier. Although he wants to enjoy the warmth of his father's approval, Kang still feels a sense of unease at the back of his mind, like an itch he is unable to scratch. Zhen's voice whispers to him, "All these schemes coming to fruition. But at what cost?" He thought she meant their fraud of a betrothal, but she laughed in his face when he said so. One of the foot soldiers steps forward to take the reins of his horse, and Kang dismounts. An official greets him with a slight bow, dressed in the black and green of the Ministry of Justice, introducing himself as the governor of Su, Wang Li. They slip in through a side door and ascend the narrow stairwell hidden in the high wall beside the courtyard of Promising Future. "The general of Kailiang," a herald announces in the distance, and the resulting cry is thunderous, echoing through the stone passage. "I want to extend a personal welcome to you, my prince." The governor is all smiles at the top of the stairs, gesturing for him to continue forward. "Welcome back to Jia." The sound of that title makes Kang's skin crawl. Prince. But the thought is chased away by what awaits him in the courtyard below. From this vantage point, he sees the court officials clustered in the space before the stairs that lead up to the Hall of Eternal Light, surrounded by the red of the palace guard and the black of the city guard. Some of them appear bewildered, while others have already fallen prostrate on the ground in their eagerness to show deference to the soon-to-be emperor.